from God's word to show what he has, or to talk about what he has for us. And so I'm praying that what he has for his word will help us to put our faith into practice, put feet to our faith into works. Let's go to some prayer. Lord God, I praise and thank you that you have given new life to us. But you also commanded us to go out and spread your word to those around us. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith, that we would listen to your prompting, and put those word, that faith into action by spreading your word to those around us. We pray now that as we look into your word, as we look at this subject, that you would be present with us, that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you would reveal through your word. We pray this in your precious name. God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. If we were relying just on works, we could show that we are good people, but no more than that. For Christ told his followers that, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those were people that worked at it full time to be righteous before the law. But they would have wanted work to surpass that. But I'm sure that we know the name people that we know that are really good people and do wonderful things for others and in the community. But unless they have faith, they have nothing that will truly last. It is like in the Galatians, the Apostle Paul makes this point very clear. In Galatians 2:15-16, he says, we who are Jews by birth, and not Gentile sinners, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And again, in chapter 3:11, Paul writes, clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. Justification, or salvation, is not something that we can do on our own. Ephesians 2:9 says, it is the gift of God. And so it is only through faith that we can be justified or saved. Theologians have a Latin phrase for this concept, sola gratia, sola fide, which means by grace alone, through faith alone. But then, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The Nelson Canadian Dictionary defines faith as 1. Confident belief in the truth, value, or trustworthiness of a person, an idea, or a thing. 2. Belief that does not rest on logical proof or material evidence. 3. Loyalty to a person or a thing, allegiance. 4. A theological virtue defined as secure belief in God and a trusting acceptance of God's will. Writer Philip Yancey suggests that faith is what sustains and keeps us going during those times when God seems distant or spiritual dry spells. As we put our faith or trust in God, he promises that we shall be saved, we shall be justified, and made righteous. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. There are many examples in Scripture of people who trust in God and whose faith was credited to them as righteousness. However, while it is true that we can be saved through faith alone, we are then called to add works to our faith. In our text, James makes it that point that faith without works or deeds is useless, that we need to show our faith through our deeds. Going back to the text, verses 14-18. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deed? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister has not clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Well, let's look at that. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, or as the New Living Translation puts it, God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. As Christians, we are created to works the store owner, they don't have to know the training and equipping of their store, also the works and service. In 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11, we have a list of things that we can follow do. Peter tells us to love each other deeply, love for hospitality, love for grumbling. Use whatever gifts we have received to serve others. Yes, speaking to us, yes, speaking the very words of God. Yes, serving. Serve with the strength God provides. Note here that we are to do these things through faith, trusting God for the strength to do the work. And when we listen for God's call for the prompting of the Holy Spirit, He will direct us to what works we should be doing. There's a story that further illustrates the necessity of having both faith and works. A Christian man worked each day transporting tourists across the lake. On occasion, he would present the gospel, and its implications were laid out in a most unusual way. He had made the word faith of one word, and works on the other. When he could quit the person shore, he was still growing, and beginning to row with only the one word marked faith, he would cause the boat to go in a circle to the left. There was a process of pulling the other word marked works, and they would circle in the opposite direction. By this time, the bewildered passengers were waiting for an explanation. This afforded him a wonderful opportunity to give them the truth concerning discipleship and the Christian life. He always concluded by saying to them, you see, faith and works cannot stand alone. They are twins. They cannot be separated. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 and 36, Jesus says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you visited me. So as I said there a moment ago, there's no detailed checklist of what constitutes the deeds or good works. However, from these very scriptures, we can see that there are many things that we can do, be doing, and do in our everyday lives that are considered good works. There are also areas for good works that you may not have considered before, and I would encourage you to think on these things and ask Jesus to use you to do works and deeds that are different than you would normally consider. Looking back at Peter's walking on water, there are a couple of things to be aware of. Before Peter stepped out of the boat, he confirmed that this was what Jesus wanted him to do. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Then, in faith, Peter stepped out of the boat to do what should have been physically impossible for him. When Jesus calls us to do a particular task and we respond in faith, we will be able to do things that on our own strength would be impossible for us. But we have to be willing to have him call us. We also have to wait for God's call and not just step out of the boat and get late because we think this is what God wants us to do. In his book, The Rise of Christianity, author Rodney Stark comments on how Christians care for the suffering and dying during plagues and epidemics, rather than abandoning those who are suffering. Christians Thank you.